Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay. Okay. I said that. Okay. Welcome to our brand new podcast where we talk all things telly with me, Claire.
And me, Rebecca. Each week, we'll be chatting through what shows we've been watching.
And we'll be keeping you in the loop as to what you should be serious linking in the coming 7 days.
At the end of the episode, one of us will pick something for the other to watch so we can chat about it next time.
And we'd love it if you would tune in along with us.
This is Spilling the Tea. Claire, episode 3. How has your week been?
Week's been good. It feels like it's been a busy week. I've been working a little bit more this week.
The long weekend, did you have a nice relaxing? Did you get up to anything nice?
Oh yes, I had a bit of a girly lunch, bit of a bottomless lunch, let's say, on Saturday with a lovely friend that I used to work with in my old job. So yesterday was very quiet for obvious reasons, and then I had a lovely kind of family day today, which was nice. What about you?
Same, pretty much. It was a little bit quiet. I actually went to a play on Saturday night.
Oh yes.
An Octoroon in the Abbey.
Okay.
Amazing. I'd really recommend it.
Okay.
It's out there, but it's brilliant.
Lovely.
Do you tend to watch more TV at the weekends or midweek in the evenings?
I think I probably watch more at the weekends. I think I start watching TV a little bit earlier at the weekends. Like we might sit down on a Saturday at 5 o'clock or something and start watching something, whereas it would be much later during the week. Yeah. What about you?
I don't know. I think I might actually do a little bit more midweek.
Oh, really?
Yeah, once Patter's in bed, so he's gone from usually about 7:30. I know when you arrived tonight, he was still running around. I think it's probably a little bit more midweek for me because I find I work up until 6:00 and then it's dinner time, bedtime for him. And I feel like I don't want to just go to bed myself, even though I might be wrecked. I would just really like that kind of buffer period.
Yeah, that decompression.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. So whether it's with Craig and we're watching something together or just myself, I really love a midweek just kind of a...
What? There's nothing that will switch you off faster, I think.
That sounded a little bit inappropriate, didn't it? So whether it's with Craig or just myself.
Keep it clean. Keep it clean. I've told you before, Rebecca. Keep it clean.
Okay. We got some nice feedback this week. From people who listened, not just our friends, which was kind of cool. It's lovely.
Yeah.
Like, people are so nice sending DMs and stuff, and we love them. So keep them coming at SpillingTheTV on Instagram.
Yeah, that's the nice side of social media. I think people have been so lovely and interacting with us and sending nice messages and stuff. It's been really nice.
A few people agreed with me on Selling Sunset.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah, the feedback was overwhelmingly on your side with that, Rebecca. Yeah, and I think you're dead right. I think I was probably a little bit less discerning when I was watching that.
No such thing.
Yeah. No, so that was interesting. Yeah.
I saw you put up a question this weekend, which I loved, where you asked people what they chat about at their lunch break.
Yeah, so people have come back with a few different answers for that, which is interesting.
Why did you ask that question?
Because I think that that's, you know, I love that part of my day in work. If I get a chance to have a decent lunch break, I love the chat that unites people around television, you know. And I love the fact that people have different opinions on it. And, you know, whether it's a true crime thing or one of these, you know, like the Tindler Swindler or one of these things, like even during COVID, the Tiger King, that like these things just, they just unite people, and where it's the love of television is universal, I think. So that's why, kind of why I was asking that.
It's a good way as well, I think, of finding out what are the programs that are really cutting through, or like what's grabbing people's attention, because it's kind of that water cooler moment.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
100%. So actually people were coming back saying that they were watching Anatomy of a Scandal. The other one that people are mentioning is The Split.
Oh, I know. That's BBC, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, I have been watching that. I have it recorded. But I didn't see the first two series.
Okay.
And I really feel that I'm missing a bit of context.
Mm.
But I love it. Like, I love Nicola Walker. She's one of my favourite actresses, I think. Really strong female cast. And there's a bit of comedy in it as well, which is nice. Yeah.
Do you know what we should do? I think it would be handy even for myself, because I remember last week I mentioned that Tan France documentary on BBC Two, and then I forgot to record it.
Me too. And then I can't catch it up.
So I think maybe we could put up on Instagram BBC alerts,
things
to set to record. So yes. Because we can't access the player.
Yeah, yeah.
So we might do that this week.
I
got a bit of feedback from a friend of mine's husband, who's actually, he's such a lovely guy in general anyway, but he sent me a few messages on things that he was watching or things that he thought we might like to chat about.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I loved that.
Are you going to tell us what those are? Are we going to chat about them later?
Well, actually, one of the things he mentioned might be what I might suggest for you to watch.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm going to see how the chat develops, and then I'm going to go one of two options with my suggestion.
Okay, super. Nice to get a bit of male perspective.
Exactly. Someone mentioned, actually, wasn't it, one of the things that came in was Grey's Anatomy is still being discussed in the workplace.
What did they say? They said that there's always someone who's watching it from the very beginning.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's so funny as well, because I suppose watching TV has changed so much. It's not really appointment to view TV anymore, where we're all sitting in on a Sunday night. It's anybody can be anywhere in a given series, and that's kind of something that helps make this podcast work a little bit as well, because we're going to be chatting about things like throwback series that are available on players,
that you can get the box sets on, you know, wherever, Virgin Media or Netflix or wherever. It's great.
Claire, one of the things that we keep dancing around, and we need to talk about it properly and we need to give it the time that it deserves, is not just the current series, but the back catalogue of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, aka The Kardashians, new name on the series. Are you a fan?
I'm a fan. Are you a fan?
Love it. Yeah, I do. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, I've been a fan since 2007.
Yeah.
So I actually feel I'm probably more intimately acquainted with the Kardashians than I am with members of my own family. Which, I don't know what that says about me.
Are you enjoying the new series?
I'm really enjoying the new series. Well, so much so that I watched an episode today and I don't know whether it's hormones. Or I watched it with my 15-year-old and she was saying to me, "Mommy, are you crying?" And I said, "Yeah."
I ask you, was it the scene with Kanye and the suitcase that made you cry?
Yeah, I cried there. I just think it's so sad that their marriage is broken up. It's sad that he's got all this love inside him, but he's also a very, very troubled guy, and his actions, you know, cannot be justified at times. But I cried when we found out that Travis is going to propose to Courtney and that her father's dead and he'll never see her getting married. It's like, oh, this is so sad. So you watched it, clearly.
I did watch it. So I feel like I kind of watch it as nearly like a comfort blanket. You know, again, like you, it's like, you know, I spent my 20s watching these people and you just know them. And like,
there they are now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you have favourites. Like for me, for example, I just find Courtney a little bit like rude.
Because I know that we're big fans. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but not everyone is. And I think a lot of people pass judgment on them and they don't really know them. So let's just contextualise it. Okay. Because most people have heard of Kim Kardashian, and probably any other self-respecting citizen doesn't know the rest of them. But we do. So, there's five girls. Three Kardashians and two Jenners.
Mm-hmm.
So Courtney's the eldest. And how would you describe Courtney?
I find Courtney a bit, Do you know what? I think she'd be the mean girl in school. Whereas I don't think Kim or Chloe would be mean. No. But I think Courtney would. I think she's really witty and smart and cutting. And, you know, I think she'd be the one that would be a bit of a kind of a like, yeah, the cool, popular girl.
Mm, she's quite controlling. She's very controlling, I think. And I think that empathy is not a strong suit for Courtney.
Mm. Loads of people love her.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think people like her because she's less maybe fame hungry than the others. Yes. She certainly definitely is less fame hungry than the others. She shifts the goalposts a lot. So I feel that she had poor Scott, who was her partner for a long time, to whom she has three children. She had these very strict rules with him, and then those goalposts would change now that she's in a new relationship. Her set of rules seemed to be very different to what they were for him. So I think she's beautiful.
Mm.
I think she's got a really savvy sense of style. And as you say, she's witty, but she is problematic. So that's her.
That's her. Who's next? Kimberly.
Kim's next.
My fave.
My favourite too.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I had this conversation with my daughter today and Kim don't think is her favourite.
Okay.
She's totally my favourite.
Yeah.
Why is she your favourite?
I just think she's really likeable. I think she's really smart. I think she's really honest.
Yeah.
I think she is a really good... I think... She appears
you
to be
feel
a,
like.
Yeah, she appears to be a really good mum. Mm-hmm. She's a good daughter. She's quite open about the fact how her fame came about.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of takes ownership of everything. And I actually think she's really funny.
She's so funny.
And
she just knows herself.
Yeah.
Like, I'm full of any woman who knows herself at 40 years of age.
Did you watch that interview where she spoke about women? You know, in order to get ahead, you just need to get off your butts and work. Did you see that?
Yes, but she was talking about women in business, what you need to do to succeed in business. And I think she has an incredibly strong work ethic. She wasn't saying that people who are failing in a business are lousy workers, but she was saying that's what motivated her. That's what she did.
Mm. I think I heard her come out about it, and she kind of gave an apology and said that her comment was a direct reaction to a question that didn't make the cut, where, you know, they kind of said, you know, you don't have any talents, but you're so famous. And again, she just said it was something that she's bored of, and she was making the point that she got off her butt and worked. But, you know, maybe it was in the edit, but it did come across like, oh no, because, like, obviously she comes from such a position of privilege that to just say, the difference between you and me is that I hustle, is just not this case. And I think she did recognize that and say, look, that wasn't my intention. And it was kind of like, I don't know if you'd seen any of that Molly Mae scandal earlier in the year.
Yeah.
You know, so I think maybe timing wise, it wasn't great for her either.
Probably wasn't great.
But I do think she's really smart. And I think actually, whether it's her or her team, her response to it was really good.
Mm.
Because when I heard it, I was really like, oh God.
I didn't cringe at it.
Oh, did you not?
No.
Oh, I did.
I didn't.
I just thought, like, you know, if you hear get up your off your ass and work, that's the secret to success. I mean,
it wasn't the secret. It was the secret to succeeding in business specifically.
From the viewpoint of someone who was really wealthy,
yes,
whose father represented O.J. Simpson,
true,
you
true.
Know, who lived in Calabasas their whole life.
Yeah, but she could have chosen just to be a socialite and not go into business, you know. She could have
but
just...
They're so intertwined now, a socialite and a public figure and...
True.
Yeah.
I suppose because I like her, I will accept those little slip ups. I'm a big fan.
You're a ride
but
or
I
die.
I just love, no, she's not perfect, but who is? I just love the fact that she even, one of her biggest missions is to try and get people off death row who shouldn't be on death row. Like, I mean, she doesn't have to do that. It's a fabulous endeavour, and she's really, really bright. And now she's studying to be a lawyer. And she's got all these multiple businesses that she's juggling. She's got a family. And she still is the person who's organising people's proposals and birthdays. And now, I know she's got a team around her, but she has her eye on what's important all the time, I think.
Do you think that they give a lot of themselves in the programme and in the series? And do you think that they still do it in this new series?
I actually think this new series is probably more revealing of themselves. It's got much more of a docu feel to it, like the more behind the scenes, and and conversations that they may have had in private on the other series, I feel. Like, even that stuff around, you know, the sex tape and behind the scenes at SNL, I thought that was all really revealing, and, you know.
I really wanted to be that revealing. And then you, like, I don't know about you, but I constantly come across articles kind of picking apart the scenes. And, you know, I think there was a scene where Chris was organising the proposal and she made a phone call, and on her phone you could see Kylie Jenner, new number 2022. And then the proposal had happened in 2021. So there's this whole theory.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So part of me goes, yes, I love them. They're so open with us. And then the other part of me goes, this is all scripted and potentially not even filmed at the same time. And
oh, I think that, but that's always been true of them. Because I remember even when Kim was divorcing from Chris, there was a scene in the car with, between Chris Jenner,
yeah,
and Kim that definitely didn't happen in sequence. But is that not part of making a TV show? That you go, look, guys, we're going to have to film that again. You know, can we set this up and just be as real as you can? Like, I don't know.
You're
it's
right.
Entertainment at it the is, end of the day.
It is entertainment. You're dead right. I'm being too hard on the Kardashians.
No, I think you've been the voice of someone sane. It's not obsessed.
No, Claire, you're dead right. They're amazing. They're fantastic. Okay, so we both have the same Kim face. Now, Chloe's a close second for me. I love Chloe. I think she's really funny.
She is very funny. She's incredible. I worry a little bit about her anxiety levels. She's making huge references to her anxiety and beta blockers and Xanax.
The series must be sponsored by beta blockers.
It must be, because this is her. We're only 3 episodes in and she's incredibly anxious.
But yeah, I suppose she's had a really tough run of it, hasn't she, with that Tristan. Mm-hmm. That Tristan Thompson.
Oh, yeah. Like,
and even before that with Lamar, and I was
gutted. Loved Lamar.
I loved Chloe and Lamar.
Yeah, me too.
Do you think they're happy? Do you think that they're happy? Do you think they have happy lives?
I think they're relatively happy. I think they have the same, you know, emotional ranges as the rest of us. You know, I think that Chloe must carry a lot of hurt that she has to reconcile. I mean, you couldn't not. Haven't gone through what she's gone through with both Lamar and Tristan. But I loved Lamar, and I always wanted him to get back on track, but it's just never going to happen.
Mm. Do you connect as much with Kylie and Kendall as you do with the other girls?
Not really, no.
What are your thoughts on Chris and Corey?
I don't understand that relationship.
I loved Kim's joke on it's SNL.
Fabulous. Yeah. Fabulous. But, like, what is going on there? Like, because, you know, what's your take on that relationship?
Yeah, I mean, they never really show much of it. It's always really, he's very much a support character.
Yeah, he's like an accessory.
Yeah, I don't get it either, to be honest. I mean,
I don't get what they have in common.
Mm.
I don't get what he brings to the team. I think he clearly looks, certainly on the surface anyway, that he adores her. But I don't necessarily see the same vibe coming back off her. I don't get the adoration from her, really.
I know. Do you like Chris?
I really like Chris. And again, I think she's done some questionable things over the years in terms of, I think there would have been a time when she would have sold her soul to the devil for a book. But I still think she's a very motherly woman and a very, very bright woman. And I also think, clearly it's all, when you marry into that family or when you're associated with them, I think your own core family, your family of origin has to take a back seat. Like, all the Christmases will happen there and all the birthdays
and the proposals. It's a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Now, maybe the other people, you know, are on the scene, but they're not shown on film.
Mm.
But I often, you know, when Scott lost both his parents, I just felt that was really not handled well. There wasn't a really good, deep understanding of the trauma that he must have been experiencing.
Mm. Mm. I have a lot of sympathy for Scott.
I love Scott.
I know.
And again, he's very flawed. He's not perfect. But I think with the right nurturing, And I think they give
you
him that.
You want to fix Scott Disick, don't you?
Well, I want him to be happy. I'd love Scott Disick to be really happy.
Yeah. So basically, we're all still on board with the Kardashians.
Yes, and I think if you're a listener and you've never watched the Kardashians, but you have an opinion of them, tune in and watch them. Because I think it probably tees them up quite well in trying to describe who they are, present who they are now. Yeah, like this series definitely shows them more, the girls more separately than it does together.
Yes. I don't know if it's one you can join late in the day.
Maybe so.
I think that you have to be...
But...
I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, I think you could be right. But the other, on the flip side of that is, if you went back and watched it from the start, if you watched Keeping Up with the Kardashians, you would actually loathe them.
True.
Because in the first series, they're just brats.
True. So are we saying to anyone, it's not too late to get on board with the Kardashians,
well,
or it is too late?
I would feel it's not too late.
Shocker.
Yeah.
I personally think, I think it was a moment in time where if you were on that juggernaut, you're still there. Or
yes.
Are you falling off? I personally don't think someone could jump in now. I think it would be just too, I think we accept more from them and accept, like, even the bizarre outfits, the bizarre behavior, the over the top houses. I think that we're like, yeah, but sure, that's just them.
Yes.
Whereas I think someone coming to it with fresh eyes would just be like,
oh, that's obscene.
People? Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe so.
Listen, who am I to say?
Who are we to judge?
Before we wrap on the Kardashians, we couldn't not mention Kim and Pete.
Ooh. Well, there's another example of her just doing what she wants to do. And she knows what she wants. As she says herself, she's a relationship girl. She's in this relationship with him, wherever it goes. But she thinks he's really generous. He's really funny. He's really genuine. And she seems to be really happy, so.
Those funny guys, you gotta watch out for
them.
Oh
my god, funny. Funny is so sexy.
So last week we chatted about a few things that were coming up this week, but beyond that, was there anything else that caught your eye?
There were a couple of things. So, did you see the Marilyn Monroe documentary advertised on Netflix?
Yeah, I saw the thumbnail, but I haven't watched it.
Yeah, so I watched that. I mean, I don't know that there was anything particularly revelatory in it, but it did pull, it kind of chronicled her life after she became famous, and her relationship with the Kennedys, and the suspicion around her death. And I suppose the interesting thing about it was it had lots of footage of her own voice.
Is it a one-off, a single documentary?
It's one-off, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's worth, like, I wouldn't say it's a must watch, but it's, you know, worth a watch if it comes up and you're not doing anything.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
I'll check it out. You're going to be so excited to hear that I watched approximately 3 or 4 episodes of Schitt's Creek. Yeah, I loved it.
I thought we might have to end our friendship if you didn't.
No, it's good, and it's short. Like, it's
short.
It's an easy hit. I mean, yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was very funny. So I'm going to keep going with that.
And you know, and that's good if you are liking it after 3 or 4 episodes, because lots of people took a while to warm up to that. So I think if you're liking it, you'll love it.
Okay.
Because it just gets better and better. It actually doesn't dip at all. It's just fabulous.
Okay, well, I'm enjoying it and I will keep watching it.
Oh, dude, I'm dying to talk about that again. I want to get into it a bit more. So I watched something. I've only watched one episode of this, but it's something that was out, could have been even 2019. It's a series that I think there may be 3 or 4 series of. It's about female wrestlers in the 1980s. And it's like a director of B-movies who starts to direct a female cast of wrestlers. So the first episode...
It's Glow, is it?
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, did I... Glow. So it's really enjoyable. Again, it's not something that I'm going, I'm dying to watch the next episode, but I could see it being something as you get to know the characters that you could get into.
Okay.
You haven't watched it?
I haven't watched it, no.
Have you come across it?
I've seen it and I've had friends who've watched it. I just never...
just didn't...
Yeah.
I was aware of it as well, but it didn't resonate with me. But it's funny.
But you're not saying you need to watch this?
No, definitely not. Okay. I've only watched one episode and I'm definitely not saying that you need to watch it. But
okay.
It was good.
Okay. So would you want to chat about a few of the ones that we did mention last week?
Yes.
Okay, so there were, we could start with An Fó Deireanach.
Okay.
What did you think?
Yeah, I watched it and I suppose I was looking for a little bit more from it. I was looking for a little bit more about, do you know, what bogs really meant to families.
I suppose it's worth saying that we only did come in on the last episode. So I didn't watch episode 1 to 3, did
no,
you?
No, yeah. No. So I think Moncon is a nice presenter. He's easy to listen to. He's, you know, he's likeable and he's quite engaging. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't really what I was after.
I think you had a different idea of what it similar to you, I didn't actually really know what to expect, but I thought it raised climate issues mm-hmm. in a really effective way without mm-hmm. being
preachy.
Yeah, I did. I thought it was quite balanced. It was quite level-headed. It was
It was interesting as well what they're planning to do with the water purification.
Mm-hmm.
And that Intel were involved. Mm-hmm. And
I didn't actually realise the extent of carbon that was emitted from the bottle.
I know.
I that's the thing. I think it was informative.
What did they say? Something like, was it 10%?
10% of the overall emissions.
Yeah, I didn't realise that.
No, it was beautiful as well. It was so visually gorgeous.
God,
but I think you, from what you were saying last week, when you were saying with your dad and the bog, it was more content heavy than kind of emotive, maybe.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
Yes, because I think, to be honest, I think the message came home nicely. You know, because it is very timely and topical at the moment. So I think it was presented in a very gentle way and very accessible and very in a way that people would accept that we shouldn't be cutting turf. And that was the aim, I suppose. Mm. But I suppose for me growing up, it was such a big part of my childhood that I kind of wanted more footage of, you know, people in the bog, families in the bog and their tea and sandwiches in the bog.
I loved the scene with the secondary school students.
Yes.
Because it was just kind of said everything. There was one kid, I think he spoke really well, and he was just kind of saying, you know, I understand how it's difficult to tell people who've always done things a certain way to change.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought there was lovely elements to it.
Yeah, he was very well spoken as well.
Yeah, wasn't he?
Do you know, one of my best friends had her hen party bog jumping in Meath.
Really?
Yeah, we had great crack.
Is that exactly what it sounds like?
Yeah, so we were bog jumping and we did loads of different things.
What's bog jumping?
So we're just going. It's a dozen, isn't it?
You were jumping into the bog.
We were jumping through bogs and we were just having games and cracking the
bog. You're
bog
crazy.
Bog crazy. But it's a really big business. What the hell is the farm called? Causey Farm.
Is there bog diving?
You'll have to take part of there. They do all these wonderful things at Halloween and Christmas and for kids.
I will. I'll consider it.
Yeah. There you are.
Like I mentioned earlier, I really wanted to watch that Beauty and the Bleach documentary, but I just didn't think to record it. And then because of the nature of the BBC and the player, I just couldn't catch it. But I did check out that Abercrombie and Fitch documentary.
Did you?
Yeah. I didn't make it through the whole thing. But yeah, it was engaging. I felt like I didn't maybe get to the stuff you had referenced, the abuse. Mm-hmm. I kind of got to the superficiality of it, the hiring of certain employees, mm-hmm. which is something I think we were all aware of. Mm. That's kind of how far in I got. I was about 40 minutes into it, but I wondered, part of me thought, like, is this just not a recurring thing? So obviously Abercrombie was the thing in the early noughties, late 90s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But hasn't there and won't there always be a thing? Like, you know, is it that exceptional? Like, is there not something now that your teenagers are going, I need to have that, or that's
absolutely
the thing, or the bloggers are wearing this? So I guess maybe I'm not being fair because I didn't finish it and there's maybe more to come. I loved the style of it. It was kind of quirky, like the pacing. I loved, like, visually, like, looking at the photography, it was
and the graphics.
It was a real kind of, it was a little bit nostalgic. Mm. Like, I remember those Abercrombie bags with the guys and, you know, where they were talking about the perfume and the smell when you went in. So it was really descriptive. But was it mind-blowing for me? Probably not.
No.
But again, I will finish it.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what you think when you finish it. Because at the start, I was kind of saying, I don't have a problem with good-looking people serving me in a shop.
I think that's illegal, Claire. Just you know what, we'll just ask the solicitor if that's okay to say.
But it was really dark. It was, you know, it wasn't, it was very blatant. It was so discriminatory. It was awful. So I had changed my mind by the end.
Dairy Girls, are you still?
I actually think, Rebecca, that the episode that I watched, the last episode, was the best episode of any series. It's just fabulous. And, you know, like, growing up in the North, okay, we grew up with the Troubles, but they were a backdrop, you know? I grew up in Oma, so, do you know, they were like, the Troubles were always ever present in your home, on the news. But you might have found yourself, or my mother might have been sitting commenting on the newsreader's hair, you know? And Derry
Girls, desensitized or just so...
Totally desensitized. And we were, there was an irreverent, there's an irreverent kind of nonchalance that comes across in Derry Girls. And, you know, the episodes sometimes are punctuated by these really significant political events, but they're so kind of irreverent about them. And it's very funny and it's very, very reflective of how we were growing up. I mean, we were so accepting of what was going on, and being searched every time you went into a shop, and being stopped every time you went from A to B in your car, and your boot opened, and you just, it was just part of life. I almost think sometimes that when the peace process happened, there was a more jubilant sort of atmosphere in the Republic of Ireland and internationally than there was in the North, in a way. You know, because I suppose like any good peace process, there were compromises on both sides, and not so much that either side felt that they gave away too much. But I don't think there was an air of jubilation, you know, if that's a word.
Yeah.
But anyway, Derry
what,
Girls...
Sorry, but why was that? Was it that it was, oh, can't believe this is really going to happen? Or
partly, and partly was that maybe if you were living through it, but you weren't directly, your family weren't directly impacted by, you know, losing a loved one, there was an acceptance that, sure, this is the way it is. And I think Derry Girls just captures that. They capture how it was on in the background, but it was part of life, and they could make a joke out of it, or, you know. So I think, but the last episode, and the comedy double act between Tommy Tiernan playing Jerry and Joe, the granda, they're just pure class. Yeah, so I'm loving it. I'm really loving it.
Have you stayed with Yellow Jackets?
Yes, and I definitely will watch another series, because there definitely will be another series.
Have you finished it?
Yeah.
Great.
I think, so there were 10 episodes in it. I think probably 9, they could have done it in 9.
Okay.
A barometer for me is if I start looking at my phone while I'm watching something.
Okay.
And I think it dipped a little bit. But then the 10th episode was really good, and there's lots of unanswered questions and all of that. And there's still a big element of mystery to keep you kind of intrigued for the next series.
I will say, I think just going from the text messages that you sent me, I think you pick up on things that I certainly didn't pick up on. Like, you were quite, I don't know if it's an intuition you have, or if it's because you act also, you had picked up on things that went over my head, that kind of just added to the build for me. So I was glued until the end of episode 10, whereas okay. I know you had tweaked things.
Yeah, I think for me, that watching TV now, I know that nothing is put in for no reason. So if there's a scene in a show, it has to mean something and it has to be related. Otherwise, they would cut it out. So I'm very tuned into these seemingly sort of innocuous scenes that end up being very important later on. I think that's probably
I definitely think that's the case, because I remember you sent me a message about someone's body language in a scene that was less than 30 seconds long, and I was just thinking, oh, Jesus, here.
Yeah. Like, oh, I know what that's about. Yeah. I had that clapped.
Yeah. So, Claire, next week, what are you telling people to keep an eye out for?
So there's an Irish comedy drama coming out tonight, actually, Thursday the 5th. We're recording this on Monday, but it's coming out tonight.
I was laughing. I was like, Claire.
Yeah, very swish.
Such a pro.
So now, it's called The Dry, and it's set in present day Dublin, and it follows Shiv Sheridan as she tries to remain sober while at the same time returning home to her family of origin after spending 8 years in London partying. She's trying to stay sober in a kind of a chaotic family environment, I think.
Is it RT?
It's on BritBox. I hadn't heard of BritBox, but it's a streaming platform. So I looked up how you can get it, and you can get it via Amazon Prime.
Okay. Yeah. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, no, either did I. And actually, I noticed in the Culture magazine that there's a whole section on devoted to BritBox. Yeah.
Right, okay. I don't think I have Amazon Prime, so I think you may have to watch that on our behalf.
Yeah, I will, and I'll feedback.
Anything else from across the waters?
Yes. So there's a drama series coming out called The Staircase.
Yes, I've seen this.
Have you?
Advertised.
Okay.
It's based on the documentary.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So it's based on the true story of Michael Peterson and the suspicious death of his wife in their North Carolina home in 2001. What really drew me to it was that it has got a fabulous cast.
Okay, who's in it?
Toni Collette.
Oh, I love her.
Oh, isn't she amazing?
Yeah.
And Colin Firth and Sophie Turner from
Game of Thrones,
yeah.
Have you seen that documentary?
No.
Okay.
Do you think I should watch the documentary first?
I don't know. Like, I mean, you'll definitely go into it with completely formed opinions if you watch the documentary. It's really great. Do you know what? You've enough on your plate to be watching. Go ahead. Do you know what would be interesting, actually, if you watch it without having watched the documentary and I watch it having watched
yes.
it.
Yes. Okay, good, good.
So that's Thursday and it's on Sky Atlantic.
Yes.
So there's one other one. You have another recommendation there. Do you know?
Oh, yeah. So Davina McCall has a documentary out this week called Sex, Mind and the Menopause. You'll be able to get it on the player because it's Channel 4 and I think it went out on Monday night. This was the time that I'm at in my life. I kind of draw into all these programs on menopause and I'm following lots of people online. So yeah, and I love Davina as a presenter. So I think
so this is her second documentary on the menopause, isn't it?
Yes. So I think she really started the conversation in the UK, certainly, about menopause. And I really feel that there's a shift now in people's understanding of it and perimenopausal symptoms and, you know, and even all our, I suppose, our misinformation around HRT.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say to you is you're saying your time of life. I mean, I'm 35 and I don't know if I've told you, but I'm working on a documentary on the menopause. I will say I was a little bit clueless, but I do think it's actually people my age should be more informed about it. I think it can be quite an unknown, scary thing, but I will definitely be watching that.
Yeah.
I'll be checking
out. I think you're right. I think forewarned is forearmed.
Completely.
And having the information and how to manage it and get ahead of it and, you know, be more, I suppose, preventative about the fallout from the symptoms.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I also like Davina. I think she's great.
Yeah, and I'm full of admiration for her as well. What she's accomplished, what she's overcome in her life, and yeah, I think she's super.
I have a few recommendations. Mm-hmm. So again, it's a Monday night. So again, the 2nd of May, but you can catch it on the player. It just looks really good on paper. So it's called Brainstorm. Mm-hmm. It's a 5-part series, a general knowledge series delving into sports, history, society, science. And it's presented by a social historian called Donald Fallon, who actually has a podcast called Three Castles Burning. And I think it's just one to look out for.
Okay.
I'm really looking forward to catching that.
That sounds great.
Yeah, social history is just fascinating. Mm. So I think that will be a good one. The other thing that I had spotted was... oh, yes. Okay. So have you seen Love Life on Netflix? Anna Kendrick?
No. Okay. Well, I started to watch one episode of it and then my daughter was with me and it was totally inappropriate.
Yes.
So I never got back to it.
Okay. Well, for anyone who has watched series one, I just spotted that series two is starting on BBC One. So it's Love Life series two, episode one and two. It's a double header and it's airing on BBC One on Friday night at the weird time of 1:05 a.m. So that's definitely one to series link.
And so what did you think of series one?
Loved it.
Okay.
Loved it.
Oh, I must go back to that then.
Yeah, I loved it.
Super.
So another one that I spotted that's airing on Friday is on Sky Arts and it's that series Video Kill the Radio Star.
Okay.
And it might just be an interesting one. It's this particular episode looks at Britney Spears' most iconic music videos. And I just wondered in light of the year that Britney has had, if that might be a bit interesting, might give a bit of context.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep an eye out for that one. And then my final thing is actually a film.
Okay.
And it's one that I'd seen in the cinema. So it's on Saturday, the 7th of May on RTE1. And it's The Shape of Water. Have you seen that?
Oh, fabulous movie.
Yeah, I think that's one that people should watch. I think it's 9:30.
And again, when you read it on paper, you think, I don't know if I'm going to be into this. I'm certainly not a massive sci-fi, but it was the most moving film. And I think Sally Hawkins is just the most fabulous actress.
I loved it as well. I thought it was beautiful. I think that's one that people might enjoy if they haven't seen.
So Rebecca, last week I asked you to have a look at Drive to Survive.
Yes.
Did you get a chance to have a look?
I did. I watched 2 episodes only, Claire.
That's a resounding success. Yeah.
So I know every single person. There were so many comments came in the Instagram. So many people saying, oh, it's amazing. I love it. You're going to love Drive to Survive. And I felt this kind of weight of, I need to love this. It's really cool. It's been really well received. And you know what? It hasn't gripped me yet.
No. Okay.
But I will definitely not give up on it because basically I know everybody loves it.
Well, maybe not everyone loves it.
I don't think I've met anyone who said they don't like it. Have you heard anyone saying like, oh, it's taken me a while to get into it? Or are people in general just clicking with it?
I don't know that I've talked to many people about watching it. I certainly know for me, it's not something that I would have been drawn to. But my husband was watching it and I started to watch it with him. And I probably wanted to keep watching it from fairly early on. Just the intrigue of, you know.
Yeah, like I can totally see it's incredible. Like the access is unbelievable. Mm. You're in there. You're mm-hmm. feeling the excitement. But I haven't gone. You know, though, for me, it's a real good sign when you're just going back to back.
Yes.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
And you're
and
kind
it's
of
not
going,
doing
or if, you know, or if Netflix is asking you, are you still watching
yeah.
this? So I'm not there yet, but you know.
Do you have pressure sores? Or...
Do you need to take a hydration break?
Yes.
I'm not there, Claire, but I, at risk of being shunned by society, I will definitely give it a go.
Okay.
Do you know, that sometimes happens to me when I'm like, oh my God, everybody
yes.
loves this. I'm supposed to love this. Why am not I loving this?
Did you feel like that when you were watching Schitt's Creek?
A tiny bit at the start.
Yeah,
I was like, God,
yeah.
I better like this or Claire will never. No, yeah, there is sometimes with those kind of...
Yeah.
But that disappeared really quickly with Schitt's Creek because I was just laughing and I was loving it
mm-hmm.
and I was engaged. Whereas with this, I don't know, I was like, oh, it's just so much testosterone. And
I mean, I think if you were sitting down to chill out, I would choose Schitt's Creek any day of the week.
Yeah. And you know what? That actually did happen at the end of episode 2. I went, will I give it another go or will I just go back to Schitt's Creek? And I did.
Yeah.
And you know what? Again, we've said this before. Maybe it's just a mindset or where you are on a particular day. And I was more interested in being entertained and kind of just...
Yeah. Even being made laugh.
I think that's where it was. So do you know what? The jury's still out for me.
Okay, fair enough.
Person in the world.
That's okay. We can still be friends.
I know. It's kind of embarrassing sometimes when you're admitting to not be on that. You know, the way when it's just a phenomenon that everybody's in and you're like, I don't get it.
Yet. I think I felt like that about Derry Girls at the start.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I felt pressure to like it.
Mm.
But thankfully, I did like it.
Yeah.
But I definitely felt that pressure.
Yeah. I will commit to it and I will keep going and I will reserve my final judgment.
Do
you know what I'll do is I'll watch 5 episodes and if I'm still not in it at 5.
Leave it.
Is it my turn to pick a suggestion
yes,
for
it
you?
Is.
Okay, so my suggestion for you, I had 1 or 2 and I was going to go, so I'm never sure if you'll have watched them already.
Yes.
So I may have thrown out a little kind of a teaser in the middle of it, but I'm going to suggest that you watch Love Life series 1 on Netflix.
Oh, I'm totally on board with that.
Yeah, okay,
yeah,
it's great.
That sounds great.
I'm dying to hear your thoughts on it.
Yeah, great. Lots of dialogue in it, isn't there?
Lots of dialogue,
That's my thing. I love watching TV shows that there's lots of dialogue.
Yeah, she has she borders on the Gilmore Girls side of dialogue, you know, which I honestly sometimes don't love, but I bought into it here. I loved it.
Great.
Really liked it.
I think that might be it for this week, Rebecca.
I think we have reached the end of this evening's journey.
Episode 3. In the can.
If anyone has any thoughts, recommendations, we would love to hear from
you. Absolutely.
Where are we, Claire?
We are at Spilling the TV on IG, and you can find us on Spotify, Apple, Acast, and actually do leave us a little review and a rating if you feel so inclined at the end of the episode.
Oh, you're so good at doing that, Claire. Thank you. That was lovely.
Yeah, it was really good.
Dying to hear what you think of Love Life.
Yeah.
Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.